You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, folks, whoever you are, from wherever you are, all around this planet. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. We are delighted to have you. Very quickly, let me say that the membership area got hit. Don't know by who or what, but it's down. We have it partially rebuilt. Give us another 24 hours and it should be back up. I received news today that a very good friend and a great friend of this show passed away on Sunday. And it's someone all of you know if you've been listening to the show. This is for him.
This is Michel from Quebec.
You are the source of this trouble, Michel.
Am I? Well, I've been blamed for a lot worse.
I want to thank you for sending me the link. I think sometimes people think that if they send me a link, send me a suggestion, that I don't look at these things. I do. I read every one of them.
Yes, I know, and I try to help in my little way. I hope you appreciate it.
I do.
No, that's good. That's all I ask. Yeah, and thanks for the kind words, Kevin. You didn't have to say anything. I just send it in, and if it gets used, it gets used. I just try to keep you updated with what's going on.
Michel Lefebvre, better known to most of you who listen to The Kevin Smith Show as Michel from Quebec, has been a real friend of The Kevin Smith Show and a part of our family. I received an email from his son today informing me that Michel passed away on Sunday as a result of a massive heart attack. Michel will certainly be missed.
Oh, Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to alienseekernews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel All-Star with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments, so click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website, or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Marla Brooks joins us from Hollywood, California. She has been an entertainment writer, associate producer for two nationally syndicated TV shows, and is the author of a book called The American Family on Television, published by McFarland. But she joins us tonight to talk about something else, to talk about another part of her life, paranormal investigations, primarily in Hollywood. Marla Brooks, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You've got a book that I didn't mention, but we have the cover on the website, and it's called Ghost in Hollywood, right? Or Ghost of Hollywood.
Ghost of Hollywood, The Show Still Goes On.
The Show Still Goes On. All right, well, before we get into some of those very interesting stories, and by the way, folks, she shared some of them with me on the telephone previously, but before we get into that, how does one go from entertainment writer? I mean, you interviewed Jay Leno. That's about as high as you go in late-night television.
Right.
From entertainment writer and TV producer, how do you get to paranormal investigator?
Well, I think it has to do with always having lived in a house that was haunted my whole life, having some paranormal experiences as a child, growing up kind of accepting the fact that this was kind of normal, and just having that interest always on the sidelines. And I always wanted to write a book about Hollywood. I always wanted to write a book about ghosts. And when I got the opportunity to make the two together, I thought, that's great. And when we started doing the books, that's when I put on my paranormal investigator hat and got a team together. We use a psychic, and we've got a Hollywood historian on the team. We've got a videographer who does paranormal investigations. And so I just kind of joined that little group, or founded that little group, whatever. And so that's how you kind of switch hats from entertainment writer to ghost investigator.
All right. Now, when you say you switched hats to ghost investigator, had you had any experience in investigating the paranormal previously, or did you have to learn this on the fly?
Well, experience not investigating necessarily, but living with ghosts, having paranormal experiences on my own. And then I guess when you watch like Most Haunted and all those other shows, you kind of get an inkling, you learn the terminology, you learn the different devices and things like that. So I guess it was like subconscious learning until we actually went out and did it.
Okay, so tell us about the team you assembled.
Well, we've got Barry Conrad, who's a videographer in his own right, and he was famous years ago for the big San Pedro haunting that we had out here. It was a horrible haunting where one of the guys went up in the attic of this house that was supposedly haunted, and in like 3 seconds got something around his neck, and he was hanging from the rafters. So that kind of made headlines. I think that was in 1989. And then we've got Victoria Gross, who's a medium, a psychic medium. She works with Barry a lot, so she came along. And then my good friend Scott Michaels, who is a Hollywood historian, and he also owns and runs the Dearly Departed Tours here in Hollywood and has the website findadeath.com. So we all have our specific little talents and stuff as we go in and do it. And we rely a lot on Vicky, but we do... you know, we have some devices. I use an electronic magnetic field meter. Victoria uses sometimes pendulum dowsing rods, you know, all the cute little things that really seem to work. And we just kind of go on psychic ability. And then, of course, you know, we're always out to make sure that what we hear is actually paranormal rather than pipes banging on the wall or something. So, you know, that's all part of investigating, is not jumping to conclusions that everything you hear is a ghost.
All right. Now, yeah, because, you know, especially old houses and old buildings creak and groan and make noises on their own, but sometimes they have a little extra help. Now, you set out to do something different. You didn't want to just go to all the places that everybody else had done, that everybody else has heard about.
Right.
And so where did you go? How did you find out about these places?
Well, my theory has always been if there's a lot of history there, it probably should be haunted. So I sat down and I made a list of locations in Hollywood that I had not read anything about before, and pretty much cold called these places, like the Formosa Cafe, which is a very popular restaurant here in town. It's right across the street from the Warner Hollywood Studios. So over the years, lots of celebrities hang out there. They've got a big sign, "Where the Stars Dine," and they really do. And I went in there for dinner. I called Barry Conrad and said, "You want to go have dinner at the Formosa?" I said, "I think it might be haunted. It's just a hunch." So we went over there, and, you know, in the course of dinner, I asked the waitress, I said, "So, this may be an odd question, but is this place haunted by any chance?" And she just started telling me yes and this and that, and brought over a couple of the other employees that had had experiences there. And I said, "Great, when can we go investigate?" And the same thing happened with the Yamashiro restaurant and the Ricardo Montalban Theater and the Hollywood Wax Museum. You just kind of made cold calls, and everybody had ghost stories.
I bet the Wax Museum was kind of eerie, was it not?
Yeah, particularly because we went in after closing, and they're open till midnight. So we went into the wax museum at midnight, and, you know, wax figures and clowns tend to scare people. And without anybody else being there, and it being very quiet, we had them turn off all the special effects and everything. And it was very eerie because, you know, all of a sudden, if you have a great imagination, the wax figure's eyes start following you. And, of course, it didn't help when Victoria mentioned the fact that some of these figures were, well, I don't want to use the word possessed, but she thought that some of the figures had spirits in them. She explained that by saying that sometimes a spirit, rather than possessing a human being, will possess something that's close to a human, and a wax figure might be. But that was kind of freaky to hear that. So, yeah, it was, but from what we found at the Wax Museum, it's very, very active, and it wasn't just us. The general manager, when we were first talking to him, explained that he had a woman from England here on vacation, and she'd come in and taken pictures and done the whole touristy thing, and she did it with a 35-millimeter camera. And when she got back home, she went to get the film developed, and there were all sorts of anomalies in the film that looked like orbs or rods or something. And she said she thought there was something the matter with the camera, there was something the matter with the film, so she took it to a specialty shop, and they looked at the film, they looked at the camera. There wasn't anything wrong with either. So she emailed the pictures to the Wax Museum and said, hey, is there something wrong in your place? Do you have ghosts? Because this is what we've come up with. And the general manager had kind of a sense that there was something not totally normal at the Wax Museum anyway, and he said, well, that clinches it, must be. So, yeah, the Wax Museum is really creepy but fun but scary. I just wouldn't recommend anybody walking through there at midnight like we did, especially when we went lights out. You know, it was just, when the lights are out, it's even worse.
What about the Formosa?
The Formosa, interestingly enough, has the spirit of the ex-owner. He was a man by the name of Lem Kwan. He founded the Formosa in the 1930s, and his grandson now runs it, Vince. And we walked in there, and we had heard stories, but no, what we heard, which I thought was pretty funny, and I was hoping to find this out, they said that the ghost of the original owner walked around and pinched employees. And apparently that was something he did when his employees were off goofing around or slacking off. He'd walk up behind them and pinch them. So one of the cashiers was standing there one night and I guess wasn't doing what she was supposed to do, and she felt a pinch. And she just started screaming immediately, running through the restaurant, oh my God, Lem pinched me, Lem pinched me. So it makes a great mental picture. So we walked in, and Victoria, you know, we do kind of a walk around, and she kind of picks up on the energy and sees who's here, who's there. And as she walked into the kitchen, she picked up the spirit of an Asian man who was kind of short, middle-aged. And I was out talking to Vince in the other room, and Vince, the Formosa is lined with pictures of celebrities and everything, but in one odd corner, there was a picture of Lem. I think it was with Anthony Quinn or something. And he pointed that out as his grandfather. And Victoria was in the kitchen doing her investigation by herself at the time because it was her walkthrough. So when she came out and met us, she says, you know, there's an Asian man over there in the kitchen in the corner, and he's wielding a meat cleaver, and he really didn't want anybody in there. That was his space. And I asked her to describe him, and she did, and it matched the picture that I saw. So I walked her over, and I said, would that be the man? And she said, oh, my God, that's him. And Ben says, well, that's my grandfather. So he's still guarding his kitchen, and what Vince told us was that when he opened the restaurant, he was chief cook and bottle washer, and he loved cooking, and that was his kitchen for many years. So
now
apparently...
I'm sorry, he's go ahead.
No, I was going to say, apparently he's still there.
Uh-huh. Now, you also went to another restaurant that is used to be one of the star bar that used to be one of the star hangouts, and is not quite so up on the totem pole now, but at one time was really a star hangout. You mentioned it to me on the telephone. I believe the title, the name of the bar starts with a B.
Yeah, Bordner's Bar.
Mm-hmm. Bordner's.
Yeah, it's just off Hollywood Boulevard on Cherokee, and I guess you could call it a dive bar now. I mean, it's very nice, except on the weekends when the goths take over, then it's a little bit scary. But it used to be a hangout. Lots of celebrities used to hang out there all the time. In fact, there is a story that Phil Harris used to go over there. He used to have dinner at Musso and Frank's every night, and then he would go over to Bordner's, and it's a restaurant as well, and have dinner with his wife, Alice Faye. And after dinner, he would go off and meet his mistress.
Hmm.
And I called Bordner's again on the theory that it had so much history, and the owner, Tricia, was just, oh, my God, yeah, we have lots of people saying that things are going on here. So we went twice. The first time was with Victoria and the regular team. And as we were walking around, she picked up quite a few things that were verified by the owner. And there was, in fact, there was a stage outside. They have like a patio in the back, and there's a small stage back there. And she picked up a man who seemed very agitated, a young man, just kind of walking back and forth. And I don't know why, I said, well, he's really agitated, he's really angry, isn't he? And she goes, uh-huh. And I said, well, what's his name? And she said, well, I think he's giving me the name Harold. And I said, well, what's his problem? You know, why is he so agitated? And she says, well, I really get the impression that he comes from, like, the 40s, and she says, I kind of get the impression that he was an actor, and probably a good one, but he never got a break. And he's just never let go of that, and he's just really, really, really angry. And I said, well, is he trapped? And she says, well, I think he's trapped of his own making. And I said, well, should we send him back? You know, should we open the door, let him go? And she asked him, and he said, yeah, he did want to leave. And we don't make it a practice of crossing spirits over, because most of them have already crossed, and they just come back for visits.
Mm.
You know, it's not like they're trapped here. I mean, there are some, but we just, that's not the first thing we do. Yeah, we're going to send you back. But he said he did want to go.
Now, I got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you have one like that, why can't he just go on his own?
I think emotion keeps them kind of rooted, you know, whether it be anger, whether it be sadness, whether it be whatever. And they just hanging on like a dog with a bone to a bad memory kind of thing. And I don't know whether it occurs to them to leave or they're just really happy wallowing in it. I mean, there are spirits, you know, people that pass that don't know they're dead. They don't know how to cross. There's spirits that have been perhaps murdered or died grisly deaths that want to kind of revenge or avenge their deaths. You know, they don't want to leave either. And some people, you know, there are houses where spirits of previous owners have no intention of leaving because they still consider the property theirs. But this guy, with her suggestion, you know, asking him, he was quite willing to. So what she did was she calls him the psychic police. And they took him across, so that was a good thing. But there's several other spirits hanging around. And then we went back because of the second book in the series. This is a series of books that I'm doing on Haunted Hollywood. It's all about seances. So we decided to go back and do a seance to see who was there. I went with a different medium this time because Victoria was out of town. And when we did the walkthrough, he picked up several spirits in there. We went like a few days before so he could just kind of get a feel of the place. But when we sat down to do the seance, he brought in a lot of, because this is Hollywood, a lot of artifacts of celebrities. He had a brooch from Clara Bow. He had a bola tie from Rudolph Valentino. He had a piece of jewelry from Joan Crawford, and he set those out on the table. But what we got, the one that came through the fastest and the strongest was a man named Albert. And Scott Michaels was with me, and his eyes raised because he knew of an Albert that died a very grisly death. And so he was asking the medium, well, you know, what's he look like? What's his name? What's his problem kind of thing? And the medium identified the man as Albert Decker, which is what the spirit had told him. And the thing of it was, the way Albert Decker died, it was ruled a suicide, but it was a very grisly, almost has to be a murder. The man was hogtied. He had a bridle in his mouth. He had hypodermic needles sticking out of his body. He had crude words written in lipstick all over him. And there's just no way that somebody could have tied themselves up like that. So he came through and he said, I want people to know that my death was not a suicide. It was murder. And he went into some of the details about some of the things that were stolen from his apartment. It was kind of like he didn't want to admit that it was a hooker. He kind of said that it was somebody he knew. But it was just kind of like a trick gone wrong kind of thing. And he had a few choice words for Thomas Noguchi, who was the coroner at that time. They called him the coroner to the stars. He said, that blank Noguchi, he said, he labeled it a suicide. It couldn't be. The man is crazy. It was a murder. And he says, I need to clear my name. He says, my family, my children have lived under this onus for so many years. And he said, and just, you know, I'll let you know the woman's name and where she lives. And she's the one that did it. And he mentioned the woman's name. He said she was living at the Hollywood Knickerbocker Hotel, which is a very haunted hotel here in Hollywood, although it's been turned into a senior citizens housing. And he says her name is Blop, and she lives there. And if you want to find out, go see her. Well, that's not anything that any of us are going to do. We're not going to go, you know, accusing a little old lady, and who knows if a Dominique even lives there, then that's her name. But it was just very strange. It was this very strange seance for him to come through like that and be so adamant.
Yeah, and to be so detailed, because we don't usually hear all that much detail.
Right.
When we have paranormal investigators on the show, and when we hear them tell, you know, what the spirits were saying, we don't normally hear that much detail.
No, we were all amazed. We were just like, whoa, because Scott particularly knew more than the rest of us did about this man, about his death. He knew... Well, Scott knew that apparently the man's ashes were taken by somebody. Nobody knows where they were. And that was something I didn't know, and our medium certainly didn't know that. And Scott says, ask him where the ashes are. And the guy came back and he said, well, we're not sure, but maybe you should contact my daughter. Which kind of verified what Scott knew, that the ashes were not, you know, in a cemetery or anywhere where anybody could go pay their respects.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was much more detailed than anything else that we had encountered before, and kind of fascinating at the same time.
Very quickly, because we've only got about 20 seconds until break here. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of a seance like that, are you spooked?
No, for some reason I'm as cool as a cucumber. I shouldn't say that. I'm knocking on wood now, because some next one I probably will be. But for some reason it's okay. So far, so good.
All right, we're headed into a break. And when we come back, we'll continue talking with Marla Brooks and get more information, more stories about ghosts haunting Hollywood. Ghosts, do they exist? Lots of people say yes. Lots of people say no. Somebody's giving information out that turns out to be verifiable. We'll see where this leads us. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Fair, this isn't right. They corner, turn it right. Sky's a shadow in the light. Another day has just gone by. The sun and moon lost track of time. Now your eyes are closed, you rest. Look ahead while I digress. So unkind, this isn't fair. This isn't right. Gives from deep within. She's gone with reason in her eyes. I've come to terms with this strange life. Oh, the mother's weary hand, and she will make you understand what is life, what is fair, what is right.
And we are back. My guest this evening, Marla Brooks, entertainment writer, TV producer, and paranormal investigator. Marla, how many places did you and your team investigate?
For book one, we went to 6 locations. We did about the same for book two, and we're doing many more for book three, actually.
Okay, so book one is out. Book two is being written.
Book two is back at the publisher. It will be out around Halloween, how appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And book three will probably be out about this time next year.
Okay, so you've done a total of 12.
So far.
Uh-huh.
So far. We've got several more lined up.
Out of all of those, what do you think was the most amazing one for you personally?
I think I would have to say Bordner's so far, but with the Wax Museum a close second, just because of the phenomenon that happened in both of them. When we were at the Wax Museum, we were walking through one of the hallways, and I was with Scott Michaels, and it was the Chamber of Horrors. How appropriate is that? And we stopped to kind of admire the Bela Lugosi Dracula figure. And it was just the two of us. Barry and Victoria were in another part of the museum. There wasn't anybody else around us. And we distinctly heard footsteps walking by us, past us, and up down the hall. And, you know, we both kind of looked at each other and froze on the spot like deers in a headlight and waited for Victoria and Barry to catch up with us, because we both kind of wussed out right then. But also, Victoria was walking past the Spider-Man display. This is just for point of reference, not that it had anything to do with it. But all of a sudden, she began walking in circles. And I said, is there something wrong? And she said, I'm lost. I want to get out of here. I'm lost. And at that point, it made me realize that she was probably picking up a spirit. And I said, well, who is this? I mean, who are, you know, what's going on? And she says, it's a young girl named Sarah. And she was murdered not far from here. And she's trapped, and she's scared, and she's lost. And this is like one other case that we decided that she needed to be sent across because she really wanted to go. She felt trapped. Her fear was keeping her there. And Victoria called upon, you know, them to come and help her over. And an elderly woman, according to Victoria, came through, an older woman, that apparently Sarah recognized. And she gladly went with her and crossed over. But there's so much phenomenon that the people at the Wax Museum talk about, too. There's one display, it's the Last Supper display, and it's in kind of a cubby hole where nobody can really get to it. It's a huge display. But the manager tells us that every so often, on a regular basis, fingers break off, not fall off, but like break off and fall down, and nobody's there to do the breaking, or nobody can get to it. And Victoria, both Victoria and Scott felt a very negative feeling around the Last Supper for some reason. You know, you would think it would be kind of holy and, you know, make you feel good, but it didn't. They were both pretty much creeped out by that one display. And then when we were standing over by the Bonanza display, somebody, and it wasn't anybody that was in our group, grabbed my elbow, and then Victoria said that somebody touched her shoulder.
And this is when you say Bonanza, you're talking about the television show.
Right, right. Yeah, the Wax Museum has different movie, TV, celebrity displays, and this was like a little mini Ponderosa right there. And so we were just kind of standing there, kind of regrouping, admiring the display, and that's when I got touched, and Victoria got touched as well. And there was a man, she said, with us in spirit, that was just standing there admiring the display, which I thought was kind of funny in a way. But she went on to explain, she said, you know, it's kind of, she says, Hollywood is very transient, and so are the spirits. And she said, I'm imagining this guy just walked in from off the street and decided to have a look around, and he's here with us right now.
Uh-huh.
So it was just kind of interesting to think that, you know, where you don't get in life, you might be able to go to once you pass over, because you can kind of go anywhere you want. You know, you missed that vacation to Hong Kong, well, you know, blink your eyes and you're there in spirit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you investigate any theaters?
We investigated the Ricardo Montalban Theater, which is a live theater. When I called over there, the woman I spoke to said that they had felt things going on there. She actually had seen the spirit of a young man on the stage. Again, on the stage. God, this is so Hollywood. But she said he you know, she often saw him. It wasn't kind of a one-time thing. She said he was dressed kind of in 60s apparel and stuff, and just thought it would be interesting if we would come in and check. And she said she also felt that there were spirits up in the balcony. She said she never went up there because, A, she has a fear of heights, but, B, beyond that, even if she was in the back row of the balcony, she kind of got the impression that she was going to fall down, you know, or somebody was going to push her. So Victoria did pick up the spirits of a couple of people sitting in the balcony for no apparent reason. She also came across the man that Margarita, the lady that works there, mentioned, and she said he was just kind of a very playful spirit. He was following us around as we did the investigation and was just always like out of sight, out of reach, out of communication. But she just kind of felt that little sprightly bit of him around us. So, but she said, because I said, well, does Ricardo Montalban feel anything when he's here? And she's, no, everybody loves this place. It's very, very comfortable. But
it's marvelous.
Yeah. But people that stay here, you know, overnight, sometimes they have people crashing overnight. She says everybody experiences something here. And we did pick up a few things there.
Did you find any of your investigations depressing?
Not yet. Well, actually, there was one sideline. There was one that made me a little bit sad. We did the Yamashiro restaurant, which is up in the Hollywood Hills, and it's a beautiful restaurant that resembles a Japanese palace, and it was built in the 1920s by a couple of brothers, the Bernheimer brothers, who were art collectors, and they've modeled it after an actual palace in Japan. And they brought over Japanese workmen, and all the materials are purely Japanese. And they built this as a home, but also as a place to display their art. In fact, they're buried, their ashes are buried in the outdoor garden. People sit around there and eat and don't know that the ashes are there, but, you know, I guess they're friendly. But it's the interesting thing about Yamashiro is that it's had many incarnations over the years, but during the 40s, when World War II happened, they had to really not redo it, not cover it up, but they really had to change the facade because there was so much concern that somebody was going to think that was very anti-American to have a Japanese palace up in the Hollywood Hills, that it would get bombed. So they really kind of altered the facade to make it look more unlike a Japanese palace. But when we were doing our investigation in there, and it's a beautiful place, the architecture is fantastic, Victoria walked over to this particular table that's in a corner overlooking Hollywood. I mean, it's beautiful at night. And she says, well, there's a woman here that's waiting for somebody. And I said, well, is the guy coming? You know, I mean, can't be totally serious all the time. And she said, well, no, he's crossed over, but she doesn't know that. And I said, well, can you tell her? And she said, she's not paying any attention. She won't let me communicate with her at all. In fact, the way she put it, she says, she thinks we're the ghosts. She's still in her time. Yeah, interesting thing.
That's like the movie The Others.
Right, exactly. Very much like that. But she wouldn't come out of her time. We couldn't get it through to her. And I said, but then she's going to sit there for eternity waiting for this guy to come when all she would need to do is cross over and she'll probably find him. And she says, I know, but I can't get through to her. She will not listen.
We on this show talk about all kinds, all manner of things that are paranormal. And with the definition of paranormal being anything for which there is no scientific explanation. So that gives us a whole wide range of things that we can talk about. And we were talking one night, I can't remember who the guest was, but we were talking about the possibility that UFOs are actually interdimensional.
Mm-hmm.
So that the reason that we see them and then they just blink out, you know, just they're gone, may be that they've sort of slipped into our dimension and then slipped back into theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the callers suggested that it may be like the others. Maybe we're like the ghosts inhabiting their world.
Mm-hmm.
I had never thought of it like that before, but,
it's unexplained.
I wouldn't have thought it possible unless I had seen the movie, but since I saw the movie, I can see that it might be possible,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we're inhabiting someone else's world.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that theory where somebody said once, well, we could all be, you know, in a blob of water or saline under some other creature's microscope. You know, our whole world could be in that one little thing of water.
Yeah, it could be.
And we don't know. You know, it's the same kind of theory, sure.
Yeah, I have met some people that I was pretty sure had a monocellular brain capacity. I shouldn't say that, but I have one or two. All right, we have to take a break, and when we come back, we will continue talking about Haunted Hollywood, Ghosts of Hollywood, the show goes on.
She thought somehow she could wash away. had seen it all before. He'd shot down inside with a cynic's eye, hated everything he saw. Till one day he turned his face to the sun, picked up his freedom and he started to run. And he said, life is what you make it anyway. So the winds keep on turning, we get caught up and we keep on learning. Could be a hurricane, but you know you can take it, 'cause life is what you make it. Once your child was given all the love he could, he grew up so strong inside and gave it all back. He's still giving, yeah. He walks with ease and a fire in his eye. Lives his own story and he's still getting high. And he says, life is what you make it anyway. And he says, he says, life is what you make it. You give love and you can take it. Life is what you make it. And he says, life is what you make it.
Did you know the Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcast right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. Welcome back. We are talking with Marla Brooks, and we'll continue in just a moment. Let me remind you that if you have not done so, go over to kevinsmithshow.com and subscribe to the free weekly newsletter called the K-Files E-Zine. The K-Files E-Zine is truly free, no strings attached, and you can unsubscribe anytime you desire to do so. Most people don't. They stay with us forever. But if you decide to, you can. And we never, never, never share our email list with anyone. We don't rent it out. We don't lease it. We don't sell it. We don't loan it. So you're not going to be spammed as a result of subscribing to our newsletter. So if you haven't done it, go over to kevinsmithshow.com and do that. While we're at it, let me also say that if you look on my website right beside Marla's picture, you will see a link to her website, so be sure you click that and take a look at it. Marla, in all of your investigations, have you come across any celebrities? Have you dealt with the ghost or the spirit of any celebrities?
Other than Albert Dekker, during that same seance at Bordner's, apparently Mae West came through. She's a very busy lady. She comes through for a lot of people. And my friend Scott, who is never at a loss for saying something that might be a little scary sometimes, there was a rumor years ago that Mae West was a man. And when the medium said, well, Mae is here, I could see the twinkle in Scott's eyes. And I said, don't you dare. And, of course, he did. And the medium started to laugh. And he said, well, May is saying, no, I'm all woman. And went on to kind of describe some sexual activities, frequencies, people, things like that, and a couple things that the medium said he could not repeat in mixed company. And we thought that was pretty funny. So a friend of mine, Kenny Kingston, psychic to the stars, knew May all his life. She was a friend of Kenny's mom. And so I called him the next day, and I said, you know, we did the seance at Bordner's, and May West came through, we think, and this is what she said. And I said, you knew her better than any of us, obviously. I said, does it ring a bell? And he started to laugh, and he says, that's exactly what she would have said. Hmm. So apparently we had Mae West join us that day, too.
Do you find that the spirit you run into, I mean, you know, you talked about the guy that had founded Formosa, and he's still mm-hmm. working in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we hear about that sort of thing pretty frequently,
mm-hmm.
Where a person sort of hangs in there with what they were doing. Did you find a lot of that or just sporadically?
I think it's about 50-50. Most of the spirits that we've encountered so far have not been celebrities, so who knows what they were doing in life. But it's common knowledge in the psychic world that lots of spirits just like to come back and visit their old haunts, so to speak. Just kind of, like I said before, hang into their houses because they don't want to relinquish ownership kind of thing. And that kind of goes along with haunted possessions. There was a TV show and a couple of books written about it where somebody will buy a beautiful antique at an antique store, whatever, and bring it home, and then there's just something not right about it. And it's that the person that owned that didn't want to give that up either, but they couldn't take it with them, so they came back to be with it. You know, a prized possession or something.
Did you run into the spirits of any animals, like someone's pet dog or anything like that?
Well, their animal spirits are certainly around. I ran into one. Well, several of them here. This house has quite a bit of activity. But one of my cats passed away about a year ago, and she always used to jump on the bed when I went to sleep and would walk over and, you know, plop next to the pillow with me like cats will. And the night that she passed away, about midnight, I felt something jump on the bed and walk over and plop down on the pillow next to me. And, you know, the bed actually moved by the weight of whatever it was that jumped, so I had to assume that it was her. And
That she normally would do?
Yeah, that's something she did every night. And it was the same thing, and she, you know, she was not alive then. I mean, she had passed away earlier that day. And for that same habit to be repeating that night was kind of, I mean, I felt kind of good about it,
mm-hmm.
thinking that she hadn't gone. But it was definitely the same motion, the same feeling that happened every night.
You know, I'm not a cat person. I'm not generally speaking. I like for an animal to respond when you speak to it, and usually cats just respond by looking the other direction.
Oh, we're looking at it like you're crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had one. She adopted us. We did not adopt her.
Mm-hmm.
She just came walking out of the forest one day.
Oh.
And plopped down at our house, and by golly, this was home.
Mm-hmm.
And we all fell in love with this cat. She was not pretty,
mm-hmm.
But she had a great personality.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I had a little boy that was 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know how children sort of handle animals roughly,
mm-hmm.
not intending to, I mean, they just do.
Right.
And, but when he would pick her up, you could watch, and she would pull her claws in and close her close her paws down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very sweet.
She was great. And we never could decide what to call her, and so we just called her Mama Cat.
Well, she was acting protective of your son, so that would be kind of a motherly instinct.
Yeah, she was great. She is not with us anymore. She was old when she came, and she lived with us for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gone. But it would be nice to think that Mama Cat would be around on the other side when I get there. That would be nice.
Well, they're all supposed to be waiting for us when we get there, and they all supposedly come back and visit in between.
I'll tell you what. There were a few dogs that thought they were going to best her.
Mm-hmm.
And neighbors came over one time. They had a dog, and the dog got away from them and started to chase the cat. And they said, "Oh, my God, what are we going to do?" I said, "Don't worry about it."
Mm-hmm.
And I kid you not, in just a few minutes, both animals reappeared with my cat chasing the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
I've got the same thing. I've got a white German Shepherd who drops to her knees the minute the cat goes after her. I mean, she just drops and goes on her back. She surrenders real quickly, and she's, what, five times as big as a cat?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, never worry about cats. They can hold their own.
We are headed in, let's see, we've got a couple of minutes. We're headed into a break. And in that couple of minutes, if you will, I ask you about what was the most amazing, and you said none of them were frightening, but what was the weirdest one?
The weirdest one was, again, at Bordner's. Boy, that place hangs out. They have an outside covered alley on the side of the place, the building. And I was walking down towards the street, down the alley, because I wanted to take a picture, because Victoria had said that there was, she didn't use the word demon, but she used the word a lower entity back there. So I wanted to take my camera, get close to it, and see if I could take a picture or two. And as I was walking down the alleyway, all of a sudden I came to a point and I just stopped. And I could not take another step. You know, I mean, I just couldn't. And she came walking in after me. She goes, "What's the matter?" I said, "I can't cross this invisible line. There's something wrong." And she says, "Well, yeah." She said, "He doesn't want you any closer." And I thought, well, that's not good. You know, I'm not going to go where I'm not wanted. I'm not going to try to fight my way through. But I thought that was just kind of interesting, where this entity put up its own perimeter. You know, you can look, but don't touch, don't come closer. And I thought that was kind of fascinating.
That is kind of, I haven't heard of that before.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't either.
I did hear about former Hell's Angel that was pretty angry and saying lots of nasty stuff to somebody, but I haven't heard about sort of pushing back. All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll open up the telephone line for you all over North America, 1-800-289-1092. We shall return.
I'm not afraid. call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back. We are talking with Marla Brooks. And Marla, we have a caller on the phone, so let's go straight to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. If you will, tell us your first name and from where you're calling.
Yes, hello. It's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Yes, Kevin.
First of all, I was greatly saddened by the news of Michelle's passing.
Yes, I think we all have been shaken by that. I'm getting lots of email from people expressing that, and I'm going to forward it all over to his son.
And Marla, I'm getting into paranormal research myself, and I have a question for you, and then I'd just like to make a comment afterwards,
sure,
if it'll be all right.
Sure.
I'm going to be getting into paranormal research myself, as I think I said. And I'd like to know, when it comes to ghosts, is there anything I should watch out for? And, Kevin, after Marla answers my question, could I say something in French for Michelle's family?
Yes, you may.
Okay, well, the first thing about doing any kind of paranormal investigation is know your craft. One thing that really kind of annoys me is that you watch Ghost Hunters, you watch Most Haunted, you watch all these shows, and everybody, and particularly younger people, think, well, I can go do that. And they will go out willy-nilly, not knowing what they could be up against. When you watch shows like Fear Factor, where people could get injured, they always put a disclaimer on it, but they don't do that about ghost hunting. So the main thing is to use some form of protection. With us, it's surrounding ourselves with a white light. Some people use crucifixes, whatever. But you need to go in knowing that not all spirits are kind and gentle. Just because they cross over doesn't mean they grow wings and turn into angels. Somebody that was a real jerk in life is still a real jerk on the other side. So you just have to be aware and know that things could happen. There have been cases in poltergeist, with poltergeist activity, that people are actually injured. Something gets thrown across the room and bonks them on the head or whatever. So you just have to be very wary and know what you're doing before you get into it. Do a lot of research, mm-hmm. do a lot of studying, read up on it, and know that it's just not always a really good place to be. You know, we've been lucky and haven't had any of those experiences, but the psychic that I work with, Victoria, several years ago had such a bad experience that she stopped doing it for a year. And this is somebody that's trained and knows the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, she had to quit because it was so horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So just be real careful and just know what you're doing. David Wells, who is on Most Haunted, the psychic on Most Haunted, wrote the forewords to all my books. And David's main catchphrase is, know your craft.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for that.
Mm-hmm.
I would like, I can say something in French for the Lafay family?
Yes, you may.
Okay, pour la famille de Lafay, j'aimerais bien m'envoyer mes sympathies pour la part de Michel, et il sera vraiment manqué ici sur le Kevin Smith Show. Okay, Kev.
All right, thank you much, Kevin.
All right, thank you.
Bye. Marla, you may not know quite what he's referring to.
Mm-hmm.
One of our longtime listeners and someone who called in almost every night
mm-hmm.
was Michelle from Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
He called in Friday night, and the show was actually based on a link that he had sent me in an email. And then on Sunday, he had a massive heart attack and died.
Mm-hmm.
So he's somebody that all of us know through the show.
Right, right. Mm.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
If you'd like to make a call.
I see. I would not like to make a call, but I would like for all you folks who do call, and I put you on hold, hold. All right, then we'll get to you. All right. I think that's an important point
that a lot of people need to pay attention to, because it's really not a parlor game.
No, not at all. And, you know, people also think, well, I'm going to grab a Ouija board and I'm going to, you know, try automatic writing and I'm going to do all this stuff because I've seen it done. But, you know, Ouija and automatic writing, anything that allows a spirit to come close to you or perhaps possess you is not a good thing. And when you're using a Ouija board, that opens up doors. And usually it's not friendly spirits that come through. You know, get a lot of negativity on that. Earthbound spirits that aren't... Well, they're up to no good, basically.
You know, another thing, you know, you mentioned the Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
That has been viewed by many people as a parlor game,
mm-hmm.
and it truly is not. It truly can connect you with some really negative stuff,
yep.
and you have to be careful with it. All right, let's go back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey.
Hello.
This is Bob from California.
Yes, Bob, you're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to say I felt really bad about what happened to Michelle. He was almost like a hero to me as far as the way that he called in, just speaking his mind. And last Saturday, I really wanted to talk to him in the chat room because we had that little cool thing where everybody met up, and he just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And it just really makes you think, and I've been really sad, and I feel bad because the speaker is a really good, solid speaker, and she's a good guest, and she's obviously solid in what she does. But I wanted to express my regards for Michelle because I know there's a lot of us out here that felt really bad.
Well, I appreciate it, and I know his family does, Bob.
All righty then. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you. Well, you know, you can tell.
I think the man is blessed to have so many friends.
Yeah, you can tell that, mm-hmm. You know, he was really highly regarded.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, and then and there may be a connection with his show, because this is not a flip comment when I say I'm persuaded he's probably listening.
I was just thinking he's here in spirit, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the reason that people have such high regard for Michelle is because Michelle was a straight shooter. He mm-hmm. did not always agree with me, but when he disagreed, he knew how to do it and still be a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he said what was on his mind, and he was a straight shooter, and people loved him.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Debbie in Columbus. Yeah, it's very sad and Michelle's passing, but I know he's on the other side listening to the show right now, so I want to say to him, bonsoir mon ami, and I hope what you're listening to tonight is kind of connecting with you. We miss you, and you're going to be in our thoughts.
Thank you, Debbie.
I wanted to, very interesting show tonight, only because, Kevin, as you know, I deal in psychic phenomena myself, being a healer and all, and it is so true. There's a few Yahoo groups that I belong to, and one of them is called Psychic, and basically what I'm doing now is I'm working with a lot of the people on there in training them in psychic abilities and things like that. And there was a young gal that had left a letter and was saying that she had been, and her friends had been fooling around with the Ouija board, and one of her friends actually had gotten possessed by a negative entity, and they had a really hard time getting this entity out. They actually had to have a shaman come in and you know, do some rituals that got rid of this negative entity. So it's very, very true about Ouija board. I actually warned a lot of the other readers in the group, a lot of the other group members, do not fool with these things. They are very, very dangerous. I have over 25 years experience with psychic phenomena, and I have never touched a Ouija board, and I never will, because as even as experienced as I am, I know what can come through with the Ouija board and those types of things.
Yeah, it, you know, it's not a toy, it's a tool.
It's not. It is not. It is not. I have also taken part in some seances, and you have to literally have a person that is very strong in doing seances and that can contact the spirits and be very strong and very grounded in that, because seances can go awry also. And mm-hmm. I've been very fortunate for that not to happen, but I have had a few experiences myself starting out early where I have encountered some negative energy, negative entities, psychic vampires, things like that. And fortunately, I have been able to avoid those kinds of problems because I was very fortunate. I was able to train with some very good people who are very adept at what they do in this area, in this line of work. And I've always been fascinated by ghost hunting. I've watched some of the shows. Some of them seem to be, you know, almost contrived to be very good, and others seem to have kind of like a little of the Hollywood spin on them where, yeah, some of it looks kind of contrived, but they're still entertaining nonetheless.
Debbie, thank you so much for the call.
All right.
All right. Yeah, would you agree with the statement I made that it's not a toy, it's a tool?
It is, and a dangerous one. You're opening a portal, and that's just, if you don't know, again, your craft, if you don't have the right protection, and even if you do, I just think Ouija boards are a good thing to stay away from.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Gary from New York.
Yes, Gary.
Good evening, Marla.
Good evening.
First of all, let me say Michelle will be sadly missed by the members of the Kevin Smith radio show family. But he also will be fondly remembered.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Sitting here waiting to hear, this is Michelle from Quebec, and that will always be a fond memory for me. I do have a question for Marla.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever considered, are you considering taking in a bit more territory and investigating the comedy club in Los Angeles?
The Comedy Store, yeah.
Comedy Store, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I've been trying to do, as we talked about earlier, is trying to hit some places that haven't been investigated before. And the Comedy Store certainly has been, and it's particularly known for the basement. The Comedy Store, if people don't know what it is, used to be a nightclub in the 40s called Ciro's, and it was a mobster hangout. And apparently there may be a lot of mobsters still hanging around in the basement, and there's a great deal of negative energy down there, and people have had the bejesus scared out of them down there on many occasions. I would like to get there. I probably will. But it's a little bit scary. My friend, the historian Scott Michaels, went there not long ago, and I made him wear a pentagram for protection before he even stepped foot in there. It's just, it's a creepy place.
Yeah, all of the investigators that I've seen have just come away with bad, bad feelings. And I was
mm-hmm.
just curious if you were going to try to take that plunge.
Yeah, I think I will.
Thank you very much for your response. And Kevin, my condolences to all of the family members of the radio show.
Well, thank you. And let me say that, thanks for the call, Gary. Let me say to all of you that if you want me to forward your message of sympathy and condolences to the family, just send me an email, say what you want to say to the family, and I'll forward it to his son. The comedy club, who would be some of the people hanging around there?
Well, from what we were just talking about, a lot of mobsters down in the basement, But I would think people like Sam Kinison, for example, people have reported hearing his laughter, his screaming from time to time. You know, probably some of the old comics that used to play there come back to kind of check in on the new breed or something. But they have a great deal of phenomena, not just in the basement. I mean, that's the bad, negative, dark, scary part. But they have things up in the main showroom as well, where curtains will move by themselves, glasses will slide off tables. You know, could be somebody just coming in to enjoy the show, you know.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Don.
How you doing tonight? I just wanted to express, I am very deeply saddened by Michelle's passing. That was quite a shock when you emailed me earlier and told me about it. I did not know Michelle on a personal basis like most of us did, but we all felt like we knew him just from hearing his voice every night for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very expressive, compassionate person, you could tell. And I don't know. I know one thing, though, that his passing for him, all the questions he's had about the paranormal and UFOs have probably now been answered for him. He's on the
other side. Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
What about that, Marla? Do we get insight once we're across?
I think that's the only time we're going to get insight. I really kind of have a gut feeling that there are just certain things that we're not supposed to know, and we won't know until we get there. But it's a great journey along the way. So, yeah, I think lots of questions are answered then. And we just have to be patient to find out about them.
Don, did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, by the way, Kevin, I was the one that called in and mentioned that about the others.
Yes.
Yeah, that was me.
Well, and it's an interesting thought, Don. Maybe we are the ghosts in someone else's real world.
Right. It's all perceived as reality. I look at it is that we're just as much of a ghost as the ghosts themselves. So their reality is really more reality to them than we are to us. So, you know, it's just how, which side you're on and which direction you're looking and perceiving it as.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to tell you, when I saw that movie, most movies are boring to me because I have it figured out within the first less than a minute, usually. I mean, I can see where it's headed and I have most of the plot.
Well,
but, you know,
did.
With the others, right up till the end, I had no inkling that they were the ghosts.
Now, I did kind of figure it out early on in the movie, but I really enjoyed that movie. And it is a very good movie. It sends a very good message and opens your mind to those type of possibilities.
Do you know, and I want to, while both of you are on the line with me, let me ask both of you if you would agree with this. That movie, to me, was almost Alfred Hitchcockish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Suspense,
yeah.
Right,
yeah,
to
sure.
The end.
Yeah, I never thought about that before.
And I didn't see it coming either. I was like, whoa, you know, when they finally revealed it. Yeah.
Well, Marla, I know we never communicated before, but you are on my friends list over at MySpace. Kevin, I have the Alien Seeker news, so maybe sometime we'll have to exchange some messages.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, Marla, you have a good night.
Don, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, the others really gave me more, you know, The Matrix and The Matrix Reloaded. These had to do with our perceptions of reality. Things are, but they are not what you think they are. That's The Matrix and The Matrix Reloaded.
Mm-hmm.
That's also The Others.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that The Others really communicated it much better than Matrix and Matrix Reloaded.
Right, after the shock factor.
Yeah. And I think it communicated the idea that, yes, we are, but maybe we are not what we think we are. Because they did not realize they were the ghosts.
Right. It was a food for thought movie, definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, I wonder, in your paranormal investigation, have you run into anybody, any spirits, that did not realize they were the spirits?
Not yet.
Not yet.
But it's a fairly common thing. Somebody that dies quickly, somebody that dies tragically, they don't know that they're dead. I mean, sometimes it takes a medium to communicate with them and kind of let them know that. You know, it's terrible to tell them, but they got to know.
All right, let's go back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hello, Kevin. This is Tony from Oklahoma.
Yes, Tony.
Marla, excuse me. I'm very saddened by hearing about Michelle.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be very, very missed.
Very much.
Also, he was always just a joy to listen to with all his questions and topics and his ideas.
Absolutely.
And, I sent an email. Please forward that to his family and my deepest sympathies to his family.
Will do. Thank you for the call, Tony.
Bye-bye.
You know, this is one of the things that, Marla, that's, let me just digress a little bit from our topic. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that's a bit unusual about this show,
mm-hmm.
is it really is like a family.
Well, I think that's a wonderful thing.
And I don't know how we got this way, but we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a good thing, because what that means is that people that you never saw personally,
mm-hmm.
know you by means of this radio show. They know you by means of emails exchanged. And it's here, it's in a way that it goes beyond community. It goes to, you know, it really is like a family. And so as you can hear, people are feeling this really personally and deeply.
I'm getting a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling about it. No joke. I think that's great.
It's an unusual show, I can promise you.
That's a good show. You got those kind of listeners, it's a great show. You're all family.
And, you know, it's that way. We're in 95 countries.
Mm.
And so it's a big family, and it's that way across the world. When one of us hurts, we all feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, back to the topic a little bit. Well, we're not going to have much time to do this. We'll have to get part of it now and part of it after the next break.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned the Comedy Store,
mm-hmm.
having spirits of gangsters in the basement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you run into any gangsters?
We did, actually. We ran into one. We were investigating a bank building, the basement of a bank building, on Hollywood Boulevard. The manager of the Wax Museum has his office down there, and it's a big cavernous space. And we did a seance there for book two, and Victoria kept picking up the spirit of a man that she described as, you know, kind of black patent leather hair, and somebody that was very meticulous about his work, because Mark, the guy who had the office there, kept saying he felt like somebody was always looking over his shoulder. And she kept saying that there was something funny about the bank building going back years and years, that she thought there was maybe money laundering going on there, or just something. She said, this place isn't what it seemed. She said the bank upstairs was, but down here it wasn't. So she picked up the name Frank and described the man and described him, whatever. The next day, I just thought, well, let me just kind of look Hollywood mob, you know, just see if I can find anything on the internet. And strangely enough, I found a man named Frank, who was the mob boss during the period that Victoria was mentioning. And he had been an attorney for the mob and kind of like an accountant before he turned boss. So, and her description matched the picture that I saw on the web. So perhaps we did run into a gangster at that time.
And what was he doing in the bank?
When we were there or in general?
At the time when he was living.
Well, Victoria, I, again, got the impression that there was activities going on in the basement, like money laundering and things like that. Like there was just kind of a business down there that had nothing to do with the bank, but they had kind of taken over the basement of that bank.
It was like he was sort of operating from the basement of the bank.
Right, right.
I wonder how many gangsters are operating from banks today.
Or how many wannabe bank robbers are going back thinking, damn it, I should have been able to do that, yeah.
So, were you able to come up with his full name, Frank, what, do you know?
It was like De Silva or something like that. I don't have my notes in front of me. She gave the last initial as a D, which was the best that she could come up with, and then the Frank that I found on the internet had the D last name.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, we have to take a break, and when we come back from this break, we will continue talking with Marla Brooks, a paranormal investigator in Hollywood. She is the author of a book that is The Ghosts of Hollywood, The Show Goes On. And it's a series. First one's out, second one's at the publisher, and the third one is yet to be. We'll be back right after this.
You're everybody. get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back, and we are talking with Marla Brooks. She is an author, she's an entertainment writer, she's a television producer and paranormal investigator now. Marla, you said you grew up in a haunted house, right?
Mm-hmm. Several. Well, two, actually.
How did you come to know that they were haunted?
Well, the first house, when I was very, very young, I used to get shaken out of bed every morning. I mean, the bed would literally just start shaking. You kind of have to hold on for dear life. And I know this is California, and we do have earthquakes, but not on a daily basis. And the second house that I lived in had a very spooky front bedroom, and actually I live next door to that house now, and the front bedroom, it seems, in many of the houses on this street, there's always activity going on. In this house, we've had phenomenon. We hear people calling names when there's nobody around, you know, calling our names. We have seen a full-blown apparition walk through the front bedroom. But I think it's more of a residual haunting rather than an active one. And for those who don't know the difference, a residual haunting is kind of like a movie loop where the action repeats itself over and over again. The spirits aren't aware of you. They're just kind of reenacting something that they did during life. Whereas an active haunting, you know, if that spirit was walking across the floor and we said, hey, you, it would turn around. Kind of thing. So it just, things happen. I mean, things go missing, things fly off the shelf that shouldn't be flying off, you know, things that are bolted down.
This happened in your home that you grew up in.
Yeah. And those things still in this house happen from time to time, so it's like never a dull moment. But, yeah, when the bed started shaking when I was little, I thought, you know, there's just something not right here. This is not normal. Who knew paranormal? But when I got old enough to read, when all the other kids were checking out Dick and Jane from the library, I was in the adult paranormal section reading up Hans Holzer's ghost books and kind of started recognizing things that he was writing about that were happening around me.
You know, his daughter has been a guest on this show.
Yes, and she's got a new book out, too.
What is her new book?
It's called Growing Up Haunted. She's with the same publisher that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came out. She's a very nice woman. Very nice.
So, when you grew up
mm-hmm.
in these conditions, did you realize, I mean, you sort of accepted it as normal, but did you realize that really it wasn't?
You know, it's kind of strange because when I was very little, I used to hear stories about my great-grandmother. She was supposedly the village witch way back when. And I thought, okay, that's all right. And then my mother had certain psychic tendencies and things, and so it was kind of normal in the family. It was kind of just accepted, this is another part of life, and these things happen and spirits are around us, and you know, we just kind of learn to live with it.
I would imagine that there's probably a higher acceptance level in Hollywood than there is across America generally.
You think so?
I would think so.
I'm just kind of thinking with the advent of so much of it on TV now. I mean, you have the reality shows, you've got Ghost Hunters, you've got Most Haunted, you've got Dead Famous. The History Channel is always running haunted history. The Travel Channel has a lot of those shows. I'm just kind of wondering if it isn't more than just here, because I don't think, I mean, yes, Hollywood people are supposedly more creative, we have greater imaginations, but I, you know, every time you turn on the TV, there's some city claiming they're the most haunted in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody asked me that the other day. They said, well, do you think Hollywood is the most haunted city in the United States? And I said, no. I said, everybody's got their fair share. I think maybe ours are just a little bit more famous. So maybe you hear about them more.
Would you say that Hollywood is more haunted than the general public realizes?
I'm finding that to be true. You know, places that I'm not so sure, you know, or that you, like I said, don't hear about, because it seems like in the last 10 years, all the books that wrote about Hollywood hauntings covered the Chinese Theater, the Roosevelt Hotel, the Comedy Store, and I just kept thinking there's got to be more than that, you know, and that's why I kind of decided to go in search of places that don't seem to be written about, but try to find out if they are. And, I mean, it's like I opened a Pandora's box. It's just about everybody you talk to has a ghost story. And it's just not something, you know, the people at Yamashiro said, well, we've known Yamashiro's been haunted for years, but nobody ever asked us before, so we never talked about it. So it's kind of like going out and searching, and yeah, I think that's a fair statement.
So you're of the opinion if a place has more history, it's more likely to be haunted. And I think that actually makes sense. What's the oldest place that you investigated so far?
Well, the building that the Wax Museum is housed in and the bank building were both built in the 1920s. You know, most of the buildings in Hollywood, although we do have a lot of new construction, but most of the buildings are fairly old, and lots of them, I guess what makes them more interesting is that they have celebrity tie-ins, and, you know, so-and-so slept here, so-and-so was, you know, discovered here, this and that. So, and that's one of the things that I do in the book. It's not just ghost stories. I tell the history of the places that we go. And, in fact, I open the book telling the history of Hollywood, where, you know, at the turn of the century in the 1800s, all that stood on the land that was to become Hollywood was a single adobe hut. Most people kind of think Hollywood's always been here as it is. So I do get into the history of not only the places that we investigate, but the people that show up, the celebrity spirits, or the ones that are tied to certain buildings. So somebody commented and said, well, you know, I'm somebody that hated school and particularly hated history, but I'm enjoying it reading your book because it's really kind of roundabout answering all the questions before they're asked.
Have you ever, so far in your investigations, have you ever targeted a certain celebrity and tried to make contact with them?
Not yet, but we will be actually on the 18th of this month. I was doing, a couple weeks ago, I did the Lisa Gibbons radio show. And when I was walking into the studio, a man was walking out who's a regular guest on her show. And when we were introduced, he said, oh, my God. He said, you know, I own Gary Cooper's old house, the house that he passed away in. And he said, we have all kinds of phenomenon there. The house is vacant and up for sale now, but he said, when you walk in there, you smell cigarette smoke. Well, Gary Cooper died of lung cancer. He said, we have all other kinds of phenomenon going on there, too. And me being the shy little butterfly that I am, I said, great, when can we come and investigate? So we will be going there in a couple of weeks, and hopefully we will find Gary Cooper there. That would be fun.
All right, we've received a message from Italy. One of our listeners there says, deep condolences from the Michelle fans here in Italy. We always enjoyed his grounded contributions and cautions. He was well-learned, and for us here, we will not think of Planet X or the Anunnaki without thinking of Michelle from Quebec. And then question for you is, do you have a lot of experience of children ghosts, and do you think more children are trapped today or from centuries before?
We've had a couple of experiences where children have shown up and in odd places, like Victoria saw a little girl when we were at the Formosa Cafe in the bar area, and she said she was just kind of skipping back and forth. There's also been reports of children's spirits over at the Knickerbocker Hotel. And I'm kind of the opinion that these are children spirits that passed away when these buildings were something else. You know, they might have been a farm, because this, a lot of this was farmland before it was built up. So they might have lived on the farm. There might have been houses there. So the ones that we have run into, yes, they seem to have been from an earlier age.
Why do you think, what's the reason that they're not as trapped, not as many trapped now?
You know, I kind of think that, not to make a pun, but I think children in general are free spirits. And I think these aren't children that are trapped. I think these are children, at least the ones that we've run into, have been, you know, happy children doing what children do. So I think they just come back to play. And as paranormal investigators or anybody with any psychic ability, we sometimes act as a beacon and kind of attract spirits to us. So when we're out doing an investigation, it's not unusual for spirits to get a little bit closer than they normally would, or they just might say, hey, over there, you know, there's people that might see us, or we might have something to say, we're going to go over there, kind of thing. So I think that's kind of what it is.
So they're not really trapped?
I don't think so. I don't think the majority of spirits are trapped. I think, you know, like I said, some are earthbound, some choose to be earthbound, but I mean, there's no statistics and no way of telling this, but I think the majority of spirits are not trapped. I think they're just here because they want to be, and they can be.
Hmm. All right. We are headed into a break. When we come back from the break, we have a message from Perth, Australia, and we'll get into that right after this. Don't go away, ladies and gentlemen. More with Marla Brooks right after this.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back. My guest is Marla Brooks.
Marla, we have a message from, where is it? Perth, Australia. Carl writes, some psychic experiences are very profound even when they are experienced by people like me who seem frustratingly non-psychic. They say that people remember where they were and what they were doing when they first heard when they first heard news of something such as the Challenger disaster, the passing of Princess Diana, 911, so forth. I remember all the above, plus a time when I was at work shortly after the passing of a much-loved family dog. Suddenly, in the middle of routine duties, I just had an overwhelming feeling that he was visiting me. I'll never forget that. There was a sense of him letting me know that he was okay, and it was a feeling of love. I am a relatively new listener and part-time flash participant of this show. Flash participant, by the way, Marla, means he sends flash messages like this. He said, Michelle has always been a part of the show to me. Godspeed, Michelle. You touched the world. Now, what about this thing with the dog? Visiting, have you, is that something that you've run into before?
Animals, yeah. Animals as people, they go back to their loved ones from time to time, and I think it's kind of a way of still showing that unconditional love that they give us when they're on the earth plane. They have as much free will as human spirits to travel and go back and forth and do what they want, and I wouldn't be surprised that most homes that have lost pets, the pets are around quite often. And I think it's wonderful that he was able to perceive that. And, you know, his comment about being marginally psychic, I truly believe everybody is psychic to a certain degree, and it's just a matter of developing it.
I had a guest on the show, and I'll have to ask everyone to pardon me. I cannot remember which guest said it. But the guest said it's like playing piano. Can you teach everyone to play the piano? Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. Everyone could learn to play the piano, but some will be artists.
Mm-hmm. It's a desire to be. I mean, a lot of people, if they have any kind of a paranormal experience and they recognize it as that, it scares them so bad they put up a wall. And I know myself, As soon as I started writing the books, I seemed to kind of let down that wall, because I did kind of have one around, even though things were happening quite frequently and I knew that was there, there was still a little bit of that fear there. But the more I started writing the book, the more experiences we went out, I'm getting stronger and braver, and it's just like using it or learning to play the piano. The more you do, the better you get.
Do you... After finishing this first book, well, now you finished the second one, but it's not out yet. Mm-hmm. But after finishing these two books, have your views of the haunted world, if we can call it that, have any of your views of that changed?
Not of the haunted world, but of the way it's perceived. I just think that there's a lot more to it, but I know that it's perceived. I mean, it is, like we talked about before, in many instances, very theatrical. Some of it is contrived, things on TV. But there are just so many layers to it that that's what's so fascinating. And it's always like a journey, a quest to find out more. So I just, if anything, I truly believe there's many more layers than I even realized that there were.
Do you, we've got about 3 minutes until we have to begin closing the show. Mm-hmm. Is there, like, any core message that you have gotten?
I did. You mean from spirit or just in my mind all of a sudden like a revelation?
Either way.
Well, I did. I got a message from spirit, and this is going to go way over the 3 minutes, so we'll talk about it another time. But I got a message at one point, and in my ear very loudly, I heard a voice saying, "They're trying to kill Judy." Well, Judy was my best friend's mom, who at the time was in the hospital. And I kind of freaked out when I heard the message. I called Kenny Kingston the next morning and said, "Please tell me I didn't hear what I heard." And he says, "No, you didn't. That's great. You're getting messages now." He says, "You have to tell the family. You know, that's what we do. We receive messages. We pass them on." And my friend lived out of state. Her mom was here in California, so she wasn't involved in her mother's care. But when I contacted her and she contacted her sisters, she found out that her mother had been was extremely over-medicated. She was on 3 different antidepressants, and it knocked her down so bad, she passed quite not long after that. So, yeah, that's the message I got from spirit, and, you know, it that was a little bit scary.
Has that happened to you again?
It's happened a couple of times, only when something is rather urgent. Nobody just stops by to say hello. But I think the annoying thing comes when you're just nodding off going to sleep and somebody yells your name urgently in your ear. You know, that'll sit you right up in bed and then nothing to follow. You know, all of a sudden you hear, "Marla!" And I'm like, "Whoa!" And,
shades of,
yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost.
Yeah, really. It is. It's something like that. So, yeah, I mean, but in a way, you feel blessed for being able to experience that.
Marla, I want to thank you for being with us. If you will, just stay on the phone with me for a moment. And quickly, sure. If you will, tell us your web address.
It's www.hauntedwriter.com.
Okay, and just a reminder that, folks, you can look at the website, kevinsmithshow.com, look right beside Marla's picture, and you will see a link, and that link will take us right over to her website, all right? Marla Brooks, again, the title of her book is Ghosts of Hollywood, The Show Goes On, and it's the first one in a series. The second one should be out around October, and as she said, that's quite appropriate, is it not? We've come to the end of the show. We're going to end as we began and just say thank you to Michelle for all that he shared with us.